Chapter 7. While he was dumping the liquor, he heard the sound of a motor, and looking saw a boat headed toward them coming down the channel around the end of the quay. It was a white boat with a buff-painted house and a windshield.
"Boat coming," he said. "Come on, Wesley."
"I can't."
"I'm remembering from now on," the man said. "Before was different."
"Go ahead and remember," the nigger told him. "I ain't forgot nothing either."
Working fast now, the sweat running down his face, not stopping to watch the boat coming slowly down the channel, the man picked up the sacked packages of liquor with his good arm and dropped them over the side.
"Roll over," he reached for the package under the nigger's head and swung it over the side. The nigger sat up.
"Here they are," he said. The boat was almost abeam of them.
"It's Captain Willie," the nigger said, "with a party."
In the stern of the white boat, two men in flannels and white cloth hats sat in fishing chairs trolling, and an old man in a felt hat and a windbreaker held the tiller and steered the boat close past the mangroves where the booze boat lay.
"What do you say, Harry?"
the old man called as he passed. The man called Harry waved his good arm in reply. The boat went on past, the two men who were fishing looking towards the booze boat and talking to the old man. Harry could not hear what they were saying.
"He'll make a turn at the mouth and come back," Harry said to the negro. He went below and came up with a blanket. "Let me cover you up."
"About time you cover me up. They couldn't help but see that liquor. What we going to do?"
"Willie's a good skate," the man said. "He'll tell them in town we're out here. Those fellas fishing ain't going to bother us. What they care about us?"
He felt very shaky now, and he sat down on the steering seat and held his right arm tight between his thighs. His knees were shaking, and with the shaking he could feel the ends of the bone in his upper arm grate. He opened his knees, lifted his arm out, and let it hang by his side. He was sitting there, his arm hanging, when the boat passed them coming back up the channel. The two men in the fishing chairs were talking. They had put up their rods, and one of them was looking at him through a pair of glasses. They were too far out for him to hear what they were saying. It would not have helped him if he had. On board the charter boat South Florida, trolling down the Woman Key Channel because it was too rough to go out to the reef, Captain Willie Adams was thinking,
"So Harry crossed last night. That boy's got cojones. He must have got that whole blow. She's a seaboat, all right. How you suppose he smashed his windshield? Damned if I'd cross a night like last night. Damned if I'd ever run liquor from Cuba.
They bring it all from Mariel now. It's supposed to be wide open." "What's that you say, Cap?"
"What boat is that?" asked one of the men in the fishing chairs.
"That boat?"
"Yes, that boat."
"Oh, that's a Key West boat."
"What I said was, whose boat is it?"
"I wouldn't know that, Cap."
"Is the owner a fisherman?"
"Well, some say he is."
"What do you mean?"
"He does a little of everything."
"You don't know his name?"
"No, sir."
"You called him Harry."
"Not me."
"I heard you call him Harry."
Captain Willie Adams took a good look at the man who was speaking to him. He saw a high-cheek-boned, thin-lipped, very ruddy face with deep-set gray eyes and a contemptuous mouth looking at him from under a white canvas hat.
"I must have called him that by mistake," Captain Willie said.
"You can see that the man is wounded, Doctor," the other man said, handing the glasses to his companion.
"I can see that without glasses," the man addressed as Doctor said. "Who is that man?"
"I wouldn't know," said Captain Willie.
"Well, you will know," the man with the contemptuous mouth said. "Write down the numbers on the bow."
"I have them, Doctor."
"We'll go over and have a look," the doctor said.
"Are you a doctor?"
Captain Willie asked.
"Not of medicine," the gray-eyed man told him.
"If you're not a medical doctor, I wouldn't go over there."
"Why not?"
"If he wanted us, he would have signaled us. If he don't want us, it's none of our business. Down here, everybody aims to mind their own business."
"All right, suppose you mind yours, then. Take us over to that boat."
Captain Willie continued on his way up the channel, the two-cylinder Palmer coughing steadily.
"Didn't you hear me?"
"Yes, sir."
"Why don't you obey my order?"
"Who the hell you think you are?"
asked Captain Willie.
"That's not the question.
Do as I tell you.
Who do you think you are?
All right, for your information, I'm one of the three most important men in the United States today.
What the hell are you doing in Key West, then?
The other man leaned forward. He's Frederick Harrison, he said impressively.
I never heard of him, said Captain Willie.
Well, you will, said Frederick Harrison. And so will everyone in this stinking jerkwater little town if I have to grub it out by the roots.
You're a nice fellow, said Captain Willie. How did you get so important?
He's one of the biggest men in the administration, said the other man.
Nuts, said Captain Willie. If he's all that, what's he doing in Key West?
He's just here for a rest, the secretary explained. He's going to be governor general of...
That's enough, Willis, Frederick Harrison said. Now will you take us over to that boat? He said, smiling. He had a smile which was reserved for such occasions.
No, sir.
Listen, you half-witted fisherman, I'll make life so miserable for you.
Yes, said Captain Willie.
You don't know who I am.
None of it don't mean anything to me, said Captain Willie.
That man is a bootlegger, isn't he?
What do you think?
There's probably a reward for him.
I doubt that.
He's a lawbreaker.
He's got a family and he's got to eat and feed them. Who the hell do you eat off of with people working here in Key West for the government for $6.50 a week?
He's wounded. That means he's been in trouble.
Unless he shot himself for fun.
You can save that sarcasm. You're going over to that boat and we're going to take that man and that boat into custody.
Into where?
Into Key West.
Are you an officer?
I've told you who he is, the secretary said.
All right, said Captain Willie.
He pushed the tiller hard over and turned the boat, coming so close to the edge of the channel that the propeller threw up a circling cloud of marl. He chugged down the channel toward where the other boat lay against the mangroves. Have you a gun aboard? Frederick Harrison asked Captain Willie.
No, sir.
The two men in flannels were standing up now, watching the booze boat. This is better fun than fishing, eh, Doctor? The secretary said.
Fishing is nonsense, said Frederick Harrison. If you catch a sailfish, what do you do with it? You can't eat it.
This is really interesting. I'm glad to see this at first hand. Wounded as he is, that man cannot escape. It's too rough at sea. We know his boat. You're really capturing him single-handed, said the secretary admiringly.
And unarmed, too, said Frederick Harrison.
With no G-men nonsense, said the secretary.
Edgar Hoover exaggerates his publicity, said Frederick Harrison. I feel we've given him about enough rope. Pull alongside, he said to Captain Willie. Captain Willie threw out his clutch and the boat drifted.
Hey, Captain Willie called to the other boat. Keep your heads down.
What's that? Harrison said angrily.
Shut up, said Captain Willie. Hey, he called over to the other boat. Listen, get on into town and take it easy. Never mind the boat. They'll take the boat. Dump your load and get into town. I got a guy here on board, some kind of a stool from Washington. More important than the president, he says. He wants to pinch you. He thinks you're a bootlegger. He's got the numbers of the boat. I ain't never seen you, so I don't know who you are. I couldn't identify you.
The boats had drifted apart. Captain Willie went on shouting.
I don't know where this place is where I seen you. I wouldn't know how to get back here.
Okay, came a shout from the booze boat.
I'm taking this big alphabet man fishing until dark, Captain Willie shouted. Okay. He loves to fish, Captain Willie yelled, his voice almost breaking. But the son of a bitch claims you can't eat him.
Thanks, brother, came the voice of Harry.
That chap your brother? Asked Frederick Harrison, his face very red, but his love for information still unappeased.
No, sir, said Captain Willie. Most everybody goes in boats, calls each other brother.
We'll go into Key West, Frederick Harrison said, but he said it without great conviction.
No, sir, said Captain Willie. You gentlemen chartered me for a day. I'm going to see you get your money's worth. You called me a half-wit, but I'll see you get a full day's charter.
Take us to Key West, Harrison said.
Yes, sir, said Captain Willie. Later on. But listen, sailfish is just as good eating as kingfish. When we used to sell them to Rio's for the Havana market, we got 10 cents a pound, same as kings.
Oh, shut up, said Frederick Harrison.
I thought you'd be interested in these things as a government man. Ain't you mixed up in the prices of things that we eat or something? Ain't that it? Making them more costly or something? Making the grits cost more and the grunts less?
Oh, shut up, said Harrison.